Good afternoon. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Urban Show. We bring you news and views from the unification principle point of view. We're very happy to have Doug Scaff on today. He's running for Secretary of State here in West Virginia on the Republican Party ticket. So please introduce yourself.
Well, thanks for having me. First and foremost, it's an honor to be on here. It's looking forward to it. Yeah, I'm Doug Scaff. I'm a lifelong West Virginian. I live in Kanawha County down in South Charleston. I've had the privilege of having three amazing boys, 7, 6, and 5. That's right. They're 14 months apart and they're all boys. And so they're great. They've been fantastic. I coach them in soccer and basketball and baseball. So everything in between, but that's great. I got the chance to serve in the legislature for 11 years in the House of Delegates, served when it was a Democratic control and then served under Republican control. So I've seen it all. Currently I'm a small business owner, a large business owner. I have three businesses that have 3 to 5 employees, and I have one business that has over 200 employees. So I've been a lifelong resident of Kanawha County, and it's where I currently reside. And I look forward to, you know, running for the Secretary of State's office, because it's 75% of the office is the chief business office of the state, or you can't literally do business in West Virginia. That's what excited me about the role. And the other 25% is the chief elections officer of the state. So that's why I specifically decided to throw my name in the ring for Secretary of State.
Yeah, so I guess a lot of the questions I have are more about the election side, but okay. I'm sure that anything that's on your mind you can share about. So I'm wondering about, you know, since you are the chief, or will be, you know, if you're elected.
That's right, will be.
Chief elections officer, that's right. So are you concerned about the move, like the all electronic voting that we have now in West Virginia versus, you know, paper ballots and that kind of thing? I know in a number of states there's been some issues, like Arizona, you know, there's been a lot of question about the tabulators they use, and then the hanky-panky in the 2022 where the machine spit out all the ballots. That's very highly suspicious.
Concerns about
things like that, or with our current system?
Well, absolutely. You always have concerns and opportunities. If people want to cheat, they're going to find a way to cheat, right? So one of my plans is to partner with Marshall University and their new cybersecurity school. So they want to work together from the president and vice president and everybody down to be on the forefront. So to make sure that we have the latest and greatest technology, and that we are lead the nation in the world when it comes to secure elections, if you use electronic systems. The one thing we can do is make sure that if we are using the electronic systems, that they're not connected to the internet, that they're not connected to Wi-Fi, that there's no chips, there's nothing connected, so there could be tampering that way. That's when they get hacked. That's usually if it's connected to the Wi-Fi or to the internet. I go around and talk to a lot of people. You know, it's funny you say that. Some people are diehard. I want a paper ballot. That's the most safe and secure. Other people say there's no way paper ballots are the most safe and secure, because you have human error, human tampering, humans touching every ballot. So it's really tough. So I'm at the will of the legislature. If the legislature decides to change the paper ballots, I'll be darned. I'll enforce that. If they want to continue to be on the forefront and do things with the electronic. So you have the electronic ballot, you have pros and cons. You get the results almost same day, right? You get the results immediately. With paper ballots, you're going to have multiple people in the room and looking over shoulders and counting and checking to see if it was properly filled in, or is it a
well, I know that in the state code, I read some of it. I mean, it does have a clear procedure, you know, how you count the ballots and who has to be there. Now, about, I think I was talking, to Mac Warner, because he was on, you know, running his run for governor, but we did touch on some of the things about the machines. And can you clarify, like, if some smaller counties, do they still use the paper? He seemed to say that all counties would now use the electronic, or is there still a choice, or absolutely all counties will use the electronic, the machines now?
To my knowledge, all counties were using the machines now. And it's all uniform, it's all the same, and that's how you get the election results within, you know, same day or 24 hours. I think West Virginia is so unique. You know, we have small counties, we have we're not connected as we should be in certain counties, you know, so that's why I say if we take the Wi-Fi element out of it and we just do electronic from a machine standpoint, I think that's one way to do it. But as long as you're not relying on the internet,
I don't think we would have the tampering that you see in Arizona and other places. Plus, they have millions and millions of more people than we do. I mean, we're a rural state. You know, we got to work with the county clerks, give them the tools and resources they need to have the safest and secure election.
Okay. All right. Let's move to another angle of that. So I'm not sure. You could maybe tell me because you were in the legislature, but I know that now we have automatic voter registration at the DMV. Do you agree with that? And the second part of the question is, does West Virginia check to actually see if people being registered are citizens, or do we not check? Are we just checking some box and take their word for it, or how does that work?
That's a great question, and that's one thing I want to do, is I want to check and double check that they are West Virginia citizens. You know, I think I don't want to make it super easy to register to vote. I think it should be a process. I think it should be very calculated, thought out, and that the person, the voter, the West Virginian should take responsibility in that. You know, they should, like, you know, bring two forms of ID, you know, they have two picture IDs or whatever. They do it in person. You know, I'm really nervous about going to those machines and you're just there and you're looking at a machine or whatever. And I think that I'm all about, even when it comes to requesting absentee ballots, I want the people to do it in person. You know,
we have the DMV registration? Do you know when that came in, when that started?
It's pretty recent. It hasn't been too long. And as under the Republican control, they decided to do that. I think they thought it would be easier way to increase voter participation rate. You know, with the state turning so far to the right, they wanted to get as many people registered as possible. And I think that was one of their options to do. But I just want them to be registered the most secure way that we have legit West Virginians. I mean, I'll give you an example. Like, we have certain counties still where there's just as many people in that county that we have registered voters.
Right.
There's no way that's correct, because if you look at an average, you can't tell me a county should have 90% registered voters based on population.
No, I don't think that's legit.
So that's not legit. And now in certain places down in southern West Virginia, there's still some out of whack dynamics of registered voters towards people. So what I want to do is every 2 years, clean up those voter rolls. Don't wait till it's political expedient or every 6-8 years. No, every 2 years we're constantly, because you know, we have an older population and people are constantly, you know, passing on, and we need to clean those up almost immediately.
Yeah. So another question is, I notice I'm following some of the, you know, voter integrity, I guess you should call them, you know, sites or movements or groups, whatever. So I notice now one group is promoting and has technology to compare the voter database with the property records. Now, I think ostensibly that's more critical where you have mail-in voting, because you don't want like 50 registrations at some gas station or something. But still, it seems like that could be maybe a good way, if there was something going on, like people are registered at strange locations, or they were registered as a student 20 years ago or something at some university. Anyway, I guess the short question is, do we use any cross-referencing with property records for cleaning the voter database?
Yes. Oops. Yep. I think we need to look at all of that. I think we need to, number one, double and triple check. All right. I want to compare where they signed up and where they say that there should be a registered voter to what it actually says on the rolls. And that should be every 2 years. It's not just cleaning up the voter rolls for people who have maybe passed on or whatnot. It should be a constant check of updating of your address. And if it doesn't match, it shouldn't be allowed to vote.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think that's a good idea. I had a question about the absentee ballots. Now, I noticed with COVID, anyone can now say they want an absentee ballot.
That was just during COVID. That is not the case now.
It says on the state website. Well, okay, you should know more, but I was looking last night on the website, and
you're right. There's two things. So during COVID, the Secretary of State then, Mac Warner, just sent out no questions asked absentee ballots to anybody.
I remember that.
That was in 2021.
Right.
Okay. We did we did a lot of things differently. And, you know, there was a push for same day voter registration then too, which I'm against now. But during COVID, we did a lot of things differently. So then because of COVID, maybe is a better word, not, you know, because of COVID, they've looked at, you know, anybody that wants an absentee ballot can get one. I think that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But my point is, you don't just send them out. There needs to be verification, justification, and a reason why you're requesting an absentee ballot. And we just can't be sending them out all willy-nilly. I'm
against according to the website that I was looking at, like just yesterday, it says there's a little description about for those who are isolating from COVID, they don't need a specific medical letter. They can just say that other medical whatever and request a ballot.
I don't. What I'm saying is, yes, that exists. I don't agree with that.
Okay. So, like, I have not voted by absentee ballots. I don't know. But if you get the ballot, how do you know the ballot that's returned is from that person?
You don't. You don't. Somebody could be sitting. Well, it's going to be returned from that person. But how do you know that that person actually did the voting?
Well, right. If somehow the ballot went somewhere and that person didn't vote for any reason and someone else got it and filled it out, how would you know?
You don't.
Oh, it's, I see.
I mean, talk about for years, you know, if somebody, say you have a 95-year-old grandmother and she needed help filling it out and she's allowed to request a ballot, she's an eligible voter and it matched her address and everything, but maybe her daughter or grandchild filled it out for them. You know, that's been going on for years. But I think what you're more concerned about is if that ballot is getting in like somebody else's hands and.
Right. That's true.
Then mailing it back from that person. I think you have to have a signature. I would like a photo ID match. You know, I was a big fan of the voter ID, you know, having to show your driver's license or whatnot. We were one of the last states.
Yeah. I understand in Mexico, correct me if I'm wrong, they actually have people give a thumbprint when they register. And when they, if they send in a ballot, it has to have a thumbprint on it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of some of the border states, a lot of the border states do that with like Mexico and whatnot. So. They keep it more even super secure. Hey, I'm open to whatever that we can do to secure them. I mean, it's always a constant thing. Like people are going to want to cheat. They're going to find a way to cheat. So we got to be on the forefront of that. And if we can ensure our people that one, they're West Virginians voting, that's the first thing.
And make U.S. sure citizens is what I meant by citizenship. U.S. citizens.
U.S.
Like
citizen.
Not illegal aliens.
So U.S. citizenship first and then West Virginians.
Yeah. Because that's a concern. People have been reporting recently that, as you probably know, the U.S. government has been sending out stuff in like for these illegal aliens, whatever, not the immigrants who came in without, you know, going through the process, giving them papers to register, which they both is illegal. But then if we're not checking if they're citizens, you know what I mean?
It's ridiculous. I mean, you know, West Virginia does a really good job. I don't think we have a problem here right now, but it doesn't mean we could. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, vote for me because we have this huge issue in West Virginia. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying you have to be on the forefront of this. Got to recognize all these issues. We got to look at other states and how people have created fraud or done something illegally and just make sure that it doesn't happen here.
Okay.
Don't take it for granted.
Do you think that in 2020 or 2022, some fraud occurred in some states?
In some states, yes, but I don't believe it occurred in West Virginia. In the states where it occurred, you had a lot more people involved. You have a lot more voters. I mean, you know, there were
mail-in ballots are a big problem.
Mail-in ballots. Some precincts had more people in that precinct than we had in our whole state. You know, I mean, or not precinct in that city or that area or that township or whatever you want to call it, you know, and some of the bigger cities. Yeah. There's more risk. There's more chance for fraud.
Well, while we're still on the topic of the voting, do we have any, do any of our machines, like I know when I go to vote, it prints out the paper tab or whatever. And then I believe you put that, and that's what's actually counted, right? By the tabulator. So I know in some states, there was a huge issue of many, the process scan the ballot. And then many of the ballots were rejected for adjudication, even 2/3. And then, of course, once it's quote unquote adjudicated, anything can happen. Do we have any adjudication in our system of ballots? Like if that paper ballot that the machine prints goes in, is it ever adjudicated or doesn't work that way?
Not to my knowledge that it's been working that way. I mean, but that's something, you know, I know the auditor's office have a whole fraud and investigative unit, you know, and I think, you know, we need to have our own fraud and investigative unit. We have some of that going on today, but I think we need to have on site right there. So it's legit and everything's done on the up and up.
Okay.
I'm all for it. I mean, whatever we need to do, if we need to change the current way we do things, if there's other ways to do it better, that's why partnering with people who are a lot smarter than me and cybersecurity that know all this stuff, what's the best way to have a safe and secure election? I always work from a business standpoint that you surround yourself with people that are way smarter than you. And that's what I want to do. I've never been a county clerk. I've never worked the elections, you know, like they do. You bring them in, you have a consumer advocacy group, you know, and you pull all these clerks together and you create a network of what's worked. And I don't think it's one size fits all in West Virginia. You know, like you said, we have more rural counties. We have some more of your urban counties, and they might have different issues in different places. And we just got to make sure that everywhere, if that issue came up and there was an issue with one of those ballots, you know, how do you handle it in Grant County as opposed to Kanawha County?
Okay. Do we know, like, one thing about machines is, are those machines we're using, like, open source? Do we know, like, have access to the code in them? Because I know one of the contentions of the machines is that they're, like, proprietary, and then we don't know what they're actually doing.
Yeah, that's the thing with all machines. But I know for a fact, you know, they have chips in them, and I know you can have them hooked up to the internet or not. Supposedly in West Virginia, they were not. None of them were hooked up to the internet. They were all just remote machines, and they gathered the data there on like a disk or a chip, and then they use that to tabulate. But what I'm saying is, even if a couple of the machines had the capacity to be hooked up or the capabilities to be hooked up to the internet, we should not do that.
Right. And yeah, another point I guess I'm making is that, like, I think there's some movement to that, or the machine should be open source in the sense that we should be able to know what they're doing, you know, if you don't have no idea what it's doing, you know.
No, I totally agree. I mean, we should know as a voter, if you want to know about that machine that counts your vote, we should make that. More education is better. Let's educate everybody on what type of machines we're using, how your vote is tabulated, how it's processed. Who verifies it? You know, I want a verification system, not just for elections, but for businesses too. You know, I want to make sure that everything's on the up and up when it comes to the business side of things, just like the election side of things. I want a verification check mark that is a legit business that you're doing with. And you can check the Secretary of State's office right there from the palm of your hand that it's a legit business, pays their taxes, employs U.S. citizens and West Virginians and no illegal aliens, and that they're doing things and they're paying their taxes and they're on the up and up. Same thing with the voter system. We should know what voter machines we're using and they've been verified and why they're the best machine for our situation at our time. They should all have a verification check mark.
Okay, that's great. So getting to the like business registrations or in general between either business registrations or your, you know, the Secretary of State role as the chief election officer,
right.
What is the most pressing concern that you see here in West Virginia as, you know, Secretary of State?
Well, I think we need to put West Virginians first and put yourself inside of West Virginia, whatever it is, whether you're registering to vote or you're starting a business. God bless the Secretary of State's office now, but their website is just a whole bunch of stuff. It needs to be more user-friendly. You got to be able to access things from your hands. I think if you can do that from the palm of your hands, we do a better job. And we need to do like the website needs to be more user-friendly.
Okay.
If you're asking people to check their verification status, if it's a legit business, should be able to do it from the palm of your hand. We don't have a proper app system for the Secretary of State's office. Everybody wants, especially our younger generation, wants to be quick, accessible. They want to maintain, you know, consistency. I've traveled all around the country and said, what can we do in West Virginia to make sure the most business-friendly state when registering a business? They want consistency, ease of doing business, and show them where to get the tools and resources they need when they're setting up their business. On the voter registration side is, we should be able to go out there instantly and look at your phone in the palm of your hand on the app and see what's the most recent address they have listed for you as on your voter roll. You know, when's the last time you voted? You know, is it accurate? Are you registered the right
party? I haven't checked that. You can't do that now?
No, no. You can go to the website and type in your information. But I'm saying we don't have an app or anything from the palm of your hand.
I get it. Okay.
I want it right there. So, and I'll tell you why. So if you're walking in a voter precinct or and you're getting ready to vote and there's a discrepancy, you can go in there and you can check it right there. You know, instant check. Same thing. If you're if my mom was going to hire a roofer to put a roof on her house and they came in, they asked for a deposit, she should be able to check right there on the palm of the hand that this is a legit business in West Virginia. Do they pay their taxes? Do they hire legal citizens to work?
That's a good point.
And are they verified? Because so many people get scammed nowadays, you don't know. Someone drives up with a fancy truck or a van and has a nice sign on the side. You don't know if they're ever going to come back and do the job or not.
Yeah, especially contracting. You give $7,000 or whatever, you know. Good point.
I mean, I think the Secretary of State's office, since we ask people to register, we make them pay a $25 filing fee, which I'd love to do away with. I don't think that's absurd. We don't need to make them file a $25 fee just to have a license. But I do think we need a verification system. We need to create a system that all the consumers in West Virginia can go to the Secretary of State's office, verify if it's a legit business, they pay their taxes and do things right. And you can have references on there too. It can kind of be like a mini Google search for businesses in West Virginia. And I'll tell you what else that'll help. From the business side of things, if you want to go and set up a pizza shop in Mon County, you can go and search real quick. How many other pizza shops have registered in Mon County in the last couple of years? Is this good for competition? What were some of the hurdles? What were some of the things I need to do and look at? And you can map it all over. Just make it easier for people to decide where they want to locate their business in West Virginia.
Yeah, I like that. So talking about companies and registration, I do have an LLC company, and you know, yeah. I've looked on the site some, and of course I've registered. Actually, I've been a nonprofit too. So we found it. So we have two registered on the West Virginia site, and that's all good. And you know, keeping them up to date and stuff. But the question I'm getting to is that, what about like shell companies? I mean, I guess there's nothing wrong with them, but like I noticed some like companies, like the board of directors is in other words, they try to hide stuff. Like there's this company, and then the organizers are another company. And then the organizers are another company and another company. I mean, I guess it's legit, but it's a little funky. Do you have any opinion about that?
I agree with you. I hate the funkiness. We got to remove the funkiness out of that.
Obviously, I assume that the reason the organizers did that is they really didn't want you contacting the responsible party. I mean, maybe it's not illegal. I just kind of thinking out loud here.
Well, in a couple of things. I'll give you an example from an election standpoint. Political action committees. You know, all the dark money that goes into these political action committees. You don't even have to report where the money comes from now. They can go out there and they can blast a candidate, and you don't even have to know who's paying for them to get blasted. I think that's terrible. That's not – I'm all about transparency. If someone's going to hit you – like if I'm going to do a negative ad on somebody, I want you to know it came from Doug Scaff. I endorse this ad. I paid for this ad. I'm hitting you and letting the people know this isn't right. If you're a business, and I guess I can see the pros and cons from a business shell company. You know, some people just want to invest and they don't want to know that you're helping this business out, or you're a big donor to a nonprofit, for example. They try to keep some of that on the hush hush, because then you're going to get hit up by every other nonprofit too to make a donation. So I can see where some of that, but you are the protector of the seal. You're a protector of all the records and all the laws that go into place. The Secretary of State's office does a lot. Licensing, protector of the rules and laws that the legislature passes, protector of the seal, licensing, and then obviously the election division.
Just like I was noticing about the shell companies, though, like I was looking up some companies and wanted to contact the owners. I mean, he did eventually figure out who the owner was. Like it's four companies down, you know. Oh my gosh.
I just say, you know, I guess people have their reasons for it, you know, but I'm not a big fan of that. Never was.
Okay. Yeah, so making the businesses more user-friendly.
The website needs to be more user-friendly, more transparency. I want as much – like if you're getting ready to do business with another business in West Virginia, you should know everything you need to know about them. Are they a good apple or are they a bad apple? Do they treat people right? Do they pay their taxes? They pay their bills? Are they contributing to the economy in West Virginia, or are they taking all that money to some shell company that's taking out to some foreign country? You know, you should know that.
No, I like the idea of transparency. Okay. Well, as I think we're coming more to the conclusion, just anything you want to share, like what differentiates you from your three Republican competitors? Yeah. And just to, in conclusion, maybe some things that are on your platform or mine that we did not touch on. Go right ahead.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. Well, like I said, I am a business owner. I worry about making a payroll every week and every 2 weeks. You know, I've worked through COVID and everything. I don't need a job. I've got three different companies and businesses I run now. I'm not doing this because I need a job or a paycheck. I'm doing it because I have the experiences. I know what it takes to run a business of all size. On the election side, I've been in six different elections now. I've been successful in all of them. I've been through the process. I want to make it as easy and possible to vote, but also as fair and prevent the cheats and keep the fraud out of our system. And I want to stay on the forefront. And I think we need to move into the new age. If we want to attract and retain our young professionals and our young students, we have too many people. They're educated and they're leaving the state. We're doing a good job of attracting businesses here, but we're not doing a good job of having the workforce for them, the workforce ready. And so one thing that the Secretary of State's office want to do different than everybody else is I want to create a couple of things. I want to create a fund that gives those people, if they lose their job or get displaced, they can go out there to get the tools and the training they need to stay in West Virginia and be successful. Two, SOSB fund, Save Our Small Business Fund. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of giving out $300 million in our taxpayers' surplus money from last year that our taxpayers pay.
Oh, so you're talking about the form energy?
I'm talking about it. I'm talking about all of the above. Why not put that money in a fund and help those small businesses who are the backbone of the state? They are the West Virginians who built these businesses here first before we go out there and dangle all these carrots and try to attract companies to come here. Let's give that money. First off, if you want to give it back to the taxpayers, I stood up and offered an amendment 2 years ago to give that money back to the taxpayers first who paid it. It might come out to be like $150 per taxpayer, but still, if it's a surplus, give it back to them.
And yeah, instead I was thinking about that. You're right. I divided it up. It is like a 150, more than that, actually, but something like that, pay 200.
It is, but I mean, but still, that could help a lot of people pay their bills or whatever. And instead of just going and picking and choosing winners and losers and what companies you're going to invest in, you know, and then if you do have money, I want to get the legislature to set aside, if there's a surplus, $50 million in this small business fund that we can go in it before a small business in West Virginia shutters. They may have been in business 20 years. They're having some tough times or they made a bad deal or something, you know, we can help them. We're there, or we can put some other investors together that might want to save their business or might want to buy their business before they just go and lay off these people. I think we work so hard to convince other companies to move to West Virginia. We got to take care of the companies that are here first. Right. And those small business owners who are the backbone of our state, they've been through the blood, sweat, and tears. Let's do that. And then lastly, you know, I'm all about a hand up, not a handout. You know, I think it's good to help people get back on their feet, but they shouldn't be relied on government the rest of their life. And I think we have a society problem. We give too many handouts to people and they take advantage of our system. And you and I are paying for people to stay home. And right. I think I want to help them get them back on their feet. But once we do, go out there and be a productive member of society and feel good about yourself. Chase the West Virginia dream and provide for your family. I mean, I've had to do it since I was 10 years old, you know. So but I think we need to focus on West Virginia first, the people and the businesses. We need to work together to create a mainstream website that's super user friendly when it comes to the election side and the business side, and just think differently and act differently. I mean, that office has been ran by the same family for 8 years, and they're trying to put another person in there from the same family. It's just time to act a little differently and do something differently.
Okay, well stated. Well, I thank you very much for coming on today. We'll make this available on the Richard Urban Show on any podcast platform, also visionroot.org for the you know, video podcast.
Yeah, and that'd be great.
Yeah, so I really appreciate your time today.
And thank you for doing this. This is great. Educate the voters and the people of West Virginia need to hear from all of us.
Indeed. Thank you.